Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is the Apostle. Today we will be talking about the blessedness of unity. And that's something I keep hearing a lot about nowadays, how divided the country is and how we need to come together. And after this sermon today, this message, hopefully you understand what the situation is and why it is the way it is. And let us pray. Almighty, everlasting Creator, we give you thanks and praise for this opportunity to speak your word. Hopefully, the hearers will come into understanding and will sit down afterwards and read the scriptures for themselves and let your Holy Spirit reveal to them the truth that is beyond their understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we will read Psalm 133. It's where I really wanted to start and stay. But the Holy Spirit led me to other scriptures. And whenever I read Psalm 133, I think you will understand. And it says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." Yes, that's an ideal state. We only reach that. But it goes on. Verse 2. "It is like the precious oil upon the beard, running down upon the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It's like the dew of Hebron, which falls on the mountain of Zion. But there the Lord has commanded a blessing, life forevermore." Now let me read that last one. It says, "But there the Lord has commanded blessing, comma. And what is the blessing? It's life forevermore." And you know, whenever you think about that, that is an ideal state that we all would like to be in. We'd like to be a place. It's whenever you just think back, if you were at a place where you were blessed, place where it was quiet, place where there was the peace of shalom, you know, that's ideal, a place where people care for each other. Place where there was no vision by color of your skin, by your height, by your race, by your sex. It's an awesome, awesome place just to think about it. And that's what the blessedness of unity. We talk about the unity in the Bible. You know, it's interesting how at homecoming last week, we sat up there, and there was a person there who graduated in 1952, and this is 20. I want you to think about it. We all were there in unity. We were enjoying, what was the commonality? It was a football game. It was homecoming. It was where everybody came back to the place that they were once in their life and sit. And in spite of the fact that there was anybody other than that gentleman who was 92 there from the class of 52, he felt comfortable. He felt like he was at a place, peace. A place that carried him back in time. And It's amazing, the ones of us who graduated in 66, we sort of felt out of place. We only saw two persons there that we knew. And we understand that his wife was there, so that was the third one. The other situation, other friend called, he saw the one of the same person that we saw, and then the wife of another classmate. Think about it. We were all there. And then those people that graduated since we did, we were all there in unity, unified. But now, what about the ones who were not there? What about those persons? And this is what the Holy Spirit led me through these scriptures that helped me understand how we got to where we are, how we got to a place where there was unity, where people could sit together. And he helped me to understand that there were people who been there that wasn't there, that chose for whatever reason not to come back. And now where we are dealing with here, it's simple. It is simple. Very direct and to the point, which helps us to understand and be able to deal with the ones that we knew that wasn't there. There was a couple that we knew not going to be there because they were unable to be there because of their health condition. Now, if we struggle with it, but the Holy Spirit showed me tree that had no fix. Jesus cursed it, and it died. There was another tree that had no fix, but the vineyard was there. He asked that be saved, and he wanted to work with that tree. And as he worked with that tree, and hoped that tree would bear fruit, he said, I thought about all of this. And then, but the key was, he went back a little bit further, and he said, the Holy Spirit led me back. What Jesus said, that he came to bring the sword. Now we always talk about love. Love. How Jesus brought peace and all this love. And the denomination that I was in, that I retired from, they always tell you, just love them. Just love them. Mm-hmm. Even though they're at conflict with you, you just love them. Just love them. But the conflict never went away. And reading the scripture, it bears witness to why. What did it say? It was clear that is that get my paper now. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit, and Jesus was and is full of the Spirit. And we see sometimes it's shocking when we learn that when Jesus showed up, and what even when he returned, but that first time showed up, what did he tell his disciples? has told his disciples quite clearly that he did not come to bring peace. Huh? What that got to do with unity? Jesus is his bearer of peace. Jesus is witness of God's love. Then why would Jesus say he did not come to bring peace? But then what did he come to say? But rather a sword. Go to Deuteronomy, I mean Matthew chapter 10, and read it for yourself. So now, if Jesus didn't come to bring peace, but the sword, why is it we're stressing over unity over the country being to be unified? Not going to happen, according to this, according to the word. We're always going to have division. It might not be as bad as it is now, but we're going to have it. It was even worse than once upon a time whenever they had the Civil War. That was division. That was because people who attempted to have it, they wanted to have their way. They didn't want to give in to the policy. They didn't want to give in to the Constitution. They did not want to give in to authority. The Constitution was the authority. Why is it that we're so concerned now? Why is it we're so concerned about red states and blue states? You know, let's just stop and think about all of this. That's what I want people to do, think. And so that they can carry on their lives as opposed to sitting around stressing and worrying about division. Now, let's go back to this fig tree. The parable of the barren fig tree is in Luke chapter 13, and read verses 6 and 8. And when you see one had a vine keeper, he had hope. He had hope that a barren tree would bear fruit the next year. We have hope that these people in red states will eventually see the light and repent and seek forgiveness. And those who are in the blue states, they too will forgive them. And those who are in the blue states, they need to examine themselves and quit seeing the laws in the eyes of people in the red states and see what's in their own mind. And you might have to change it. They see a lot of law. But yet, maybe that needs to be flipped. And then if we go on, we see also Mark chapter 11, verse 12 to 20, where it includes the account of Jesus cursing that fig tree. And the next day, what happened? The tree withered and died. Now, we started out Psalm 133, Lessons of Unity. And it says, behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Well, people dwell in unity. Brothers and sisters dwell in unity. And it was very clear about it. If we dwell in unity, we will have peace. We won't have all this division. And lastly, what else reminded me in the Old Testament passage? I want you to look this one up for yourself. Old Testament passage says what? I'm paraphrasing the time. It says we cast not our pearls in front of swine. Now, how does that line up with what happened to the fig tree? And how does that happen with what happened, what Jesus said, that he did not come to bring peace, but rather a sword? It makes sense. Whenever you sit down and try to look at it, you see that that's all the parallel. I want you to really give some thought to it. So as we develop this ministry beyond the walls, you, the listener, you will realize that everyone is not going to come on board. You can't make anybody come on board. They have to see for themselves. And whenever we take that attitude, what happens? We find ourselves being at peace because we did what we were to do. And some of us forget our own journey, the word, and we rejected it, or we just ignored it. But then one day a little light bulb went on, and think, if we hadn't had that encounter, we'd still be out there doing whatever it is we're doing. I want you all to sit with that, reflect over it, invite the Holy Spirit to reveal to you additional truth. That's what I had to do. And back to that, you cast not your pearls in front of swine. Think about it, that pig doesn't understand the value of pearls. He just thinks it's just something to eat like everything else. And whenever he gobbles it up, and if there's no more there, he's going to get upset at you. So cast not your pearls in front of swine. They will turn right around and gorge. I'm paraphrasing it. And that is where I was taken today. What I was given whenever I look to the subheading in my Bible says, the blessedness of unity. And that's whenever I went through that, peace with white people fighting non-white people. It's all told right here. Jesus said, what? There's many people that's talking about Jesus now. You got white people talking about Jesus, you got non-white people talking about Jesus. But yet they fight each other. You got one that's trying to do live according to the word, and another not. And they come into conflict with each other. Think about it. But yet, what did they say? They say, we're in a Christian nation. You're in a Christian nation and a godly nation, brother. A God-fearing nation. But now you got people jumping up saying that Christian nationalism, another form of division. Christian nationalism is a buzzword for white supremacy or white gathering. As we continue this journey, we begin to understand what's happening now. We began to understand how to apply the word, how the word is applied to it, and what it means. This is relaxing. Meditate and reflect. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, guide you, comfort you, Yeah. Some of us, when we look at it, you need to be comforted. You need to be assured that God is still in control. And because God is in control, we don't need to worry. We don't need to be concerned. We don't even need to get in no debate or discussion on justice. All we need to do is just live long enough and watch God work. Because see, some of us are going to show you God is working this thing out. And when God works it out, it's the permanent. But when we try to work it out, see where we are again. We had the Civil War, and look where we are now, on the brink of another. I'm very optimistic. Optimistic that the God that I preach about, that I share with you about, is not sleep. It's not an idol. It's not a piece of wood. Not a picture on paper. Whenever the word clearly tells us you should not make a graven image. But yet, we have all these images of God none of us have ever seen. One thing we say that God is a spirit, but yet we have reduced that same God to a piece of wood, a piece of metal. Like he's hanging on the wall. And 9 times out of 10, that is the wrong image that's there. That image, even in itself, does not line up with the word. And sometimes we even taking characters in the Bible and made them God. No, some people won't listen again, but that's fine. In the next 5 years, you'll come into an understanding. And you'll begin to understand and see what I'm saying. Because it lines up with the word. There's nothing new under the sun. That's in Ecclesiastes. So what goes around comes around, what my ancestors used to tell me. And what I see is something that's coming back around. But those of us who are believers in the one true God, Yahweh, Elohim. And Elohim, yes, is a plural bird named for God. That's a Hebrew name. And they're the ones that birthed. Therefore, they knew that God was so much, so broad, that there was no single word that could calculate the essence of God. Until people call in, or until those of you who are listening via computers, I know that some of you out there doing that, because the statistics shows that. And our phone number is that you can dial. Your cell phone, nothing is long distance anymore. 980-636-4662. email, talking, talking, drums, drums, the number 12, at gmail.com. talkingdrums@gmail.com. If you have a question or comment, or if there's something you disagree with, as long as you can back it up with the word, I'm glad to entertain. I'm glad to respond to it. But if you send me something, tell me what you think, you feel, and I can't find it where this foundation is in the word, I will not respond to it. Now, as we come to a close, I just want to thank you for listening. And I trust that something that was said gave you some peace and gave you a greater understanding of what's going on around you. And how, not so much you understand it, but it's how you respond to that which is going on around you. How will you respond to it? My response is one of thank you. My response was one that took me to follow up and look being there too. And I just say thank you again for your listening time. And I thank God for you. And if you'd like to join us in the 3-day fast, starting tomorrow to Wednesday, the ones who attend our prayer meeting on Wednesday night, doing prayer and fast. We start praying last Thursday. We pray up to Tuesday, fast, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And then we'll come together at the prayer meeting and discuss what God has said to us. Shalom. Shalom.